How do you do? Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we've warned you.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no.
It's been spoily up in here today. welcome to Night of Living Podcast, debris of the miscellaneous kind. I would say feedback and miscellaneous debris, but we don't have any.
That's fine.
Of the feedback variety.
I like short shows.
Yeah.
Well, so. I had a really nice email, but it was only sent to me, and I don't know if I'm allowed to read it on the air.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, is that a woman? That's why it was only sent to you?
It's sexting. He's like, I got some sex I can read.
What's her name? What's she look like?
Oh, she's big old knackers.
It's a fella, no. And it's a sincere email, and I read it.
Yeah, Dr. Brian sent me a really nice email, and I haven't composed a reply yet because I was so moved by what he had to say, but it was just really nice. I want to give you a shout out. Doc Brian.
You can show us after the show, right?
Thanks.
Yeah, I'll share it with you guys. I just don't know if it was okay for me to share it with the listeners or not, but if it is... Dr. Brian, I will,
A doctor. You say. Oh.
Can you take a look at this mole for me, Brian, please?
But he's just a rapper.
No, he's a doctor of medicine. He's the real deal.
You can be both.
I don't like that's when true. Kelly hasn't introed us yet and you guys are bantering.
I know. I'm sorry.
Oh, right. You want to be introduced as quickly as possible. All right. Well, with us this week is Amy.
I have OCD.
Freddie is here.
Mm-hmm. That was me that I derailed everything.
Yeah, that's all right.
He does that.
Andy is in his normal spot.
Thanks.
And we have a very special guest with us today.
Now just a guest.
We have just
a very modest guest.
A guest. Just a regular old
humble.
Yeah.
Like basic type of guest.
Like recent your sister when your sister comes over or something like that.
My sister is with us today.
Recent Walt Disney World annual pass holder.
Yeah.
Listeners, do you want to guess? I'll give you a second.
No, it is not Barack Obama.
No, that's not right. It's Jacob Trevino.
Hey.
I'm going to get real sincere with you, too. This is really the highlight of my year is coming on this show.
Oh, my God, you're
well, because we don't get to hang out, really, outside of being in this room. Yeah. We, like, socialize on the fake world, the internet.
Yeah.
We very rarely, like, intersect. So when we do get to sit down, I always have the best time.
It's so we do, too.
Your whole year, huh?
My whole year.
That's a sad little life you lead.
Just take the compliment, Andy.
We're not that great.
Self-esteem. We'll work on it later.
Speak for yourself.
But that's very nice of you to say, Jacob.
No, yeah. I'm excited to be here because every time I come on here, I always get to talk about something that I'm excited about. It's a very selfish thing. I'm like, hey, awesome. Let me tell you about
it's good.
These cool things that,
I get it.
That we're doing.
So to refresh everyone's memory, Jacob, proprietor of The Overlook.
Yes.
One of the coolest things ever, which is the Shining theme bar here in Cincinnati.
Agreed. Love it.
It's famous. It's nationally famous.
Yeah. And that's wasn't enough for him. So you went out and you made the video archive, the Tarantino bar.
That's correct.
And then that wasn't enough for you.
Nope.
No.
Then you went out and started Tokyo Kitty, which is the Japanese themed
karaoke bar.
Yeah, karaoke bar with robots. And
it's awesome.
We're constantly, that seems to be like our beta test bar for all our real wild ideas. So none of the bars ever seem really done. So we're just constantly adding and doing more things and improving upon what we do. So
that's what makes them awesome.
It is what makes them awesome.
So have the robots gone crazy yet?
Not yet, but that actually became our theme. I love talking about Halloween in August.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh man, it's so close, but it's also so far away. But you get to really get into your planning stages.
Yeah.
And we have some awesome stuff happening. So for Tokyo Kitty, our theme is robotic nightmare.
Nice.
So
shopping mall thing.
So it was really going to be this Ex Machina kind of Rise of the Robots, Terminator kind of thing. So when you you walk into the building, there's all this propaganda that's like, assimilate, the robots are your friends. And then you'll pass through our cool mirror room, and then when you get into the main room, it's all like the rebellion, like, rise up, don't let them in your brain. Like,
are the robot servers gonna piss in everybody's eyeballs?
No, but that is one of my favorite robot uprising movies is Maximum Overdrive.
Oh hell yeah.
Where I think it's Stephen King trying to get money out of the ATM. It's like, fuck you, asshole.
Like, that poor little league coach for those soda cans.
Yeah. And then there's apparently a scene in there that they took out where a kid gets Aunt Jemima'd by like a steamroller. Like, and so they had a dummy that they filled with blood, and when they hit it with the steamroller, all the blood ran into like the head part of the dummy, and then it popped off like a rocket. And the sensors are like, no, absolutely not.
That might be very accurate. We don't know. I need to find that deleted scene. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
I want to see like a very gentle robot uprising where they just get passive aggressive at you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, you don't think
Siri is already doing that shit?
I just want the robot servers to bring you the wrong drink or laugh at your drink order or something.
Yeah. Like, oh, whiskey sour. Yeah. How fun.
Just be kind of bitchy.
Like
a Long Island iced tea, you dumb cunt.
If you were like a male orders like a bitch drink, they just laugh at you or something.
Freddie would be constantly yelled at.
Yeah, would be.
And laughed at.
I love
Freddie, you love technology so much. I think you'd be like, cool, robots are my friend.
I'd love you'd a robot. There. A robot vacuumed my living room this morning.
And it got stuck in your kitchen, too.
It did get stuck once.
And I had to fix it.
Yeah, and she's constantly coughing up dog hair.
So. Jacqueline.
Yeah.
But no, you seriously are like addicted to making like all of your decisions via technology.
Yeah, I am. I'm like when Michael Scott drove the car into the lake, essentially.
Yeah. You're just going to listen to it no matter what.
Yeah. Jacob's got something else exciting coming
up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we always get, you know, the great thing about what I do is you get to meet people like you guys that are like, I'm passionate about film and about stuff. And then people will reach out to us to be in the same boat. They'll say, hey, you guys are really into this. I've got this cool thing. Do you want to help me do this cool thing? So out of the blue, this guy emails me and goes, hey, I do this cinema event. We're coming to your area. Would you be interested in sponsoring the event? And I was like, okay, what's the event? And he goes, well, we show movies where they're filmed. And I was
isn't that awesome?
Wow, you took it to the next level, because I just show a movie and we pair food and drink to it. Like, you're actually immersing them even more into the world. So he was doing one of, I think, a really cool franchise. Obviously, you guys think it's cool too. The Strangers. He's basically like on the Strangers tour, where he's showing the Strangers and the Strangers Pray at Night in all the locations where it was filmed. The guy's really cool. The website that you can go to is Myers House NC for North Carolina, because this guy loved Halloween so much that he rebuilt the house.
Oh, shit.
Himself. Yeah, he saw the house in California and was in North Carolina and goes,
I don't like earthquakes.
Well, and also they won't sell this house to me, so I'll just build the same exact house across the country. So he talks about how that's how his passion started, was he started showing Halloween in his like front yard.
Nice.
Of the recreation of the Halloween house. And now he says he gets about 600 people there. So this Saturday, we're showing The Strangers Pray at Night down in Kincaid Lake State Park, which is in Falmouth, Kentucky, like a little south of Florence. It's basically 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. Tickets are $10. You can buy them at MyersHouseNC.com and see all the details there. But he's got some of the actors coming out too.
Oh, nice.
So, Damien.
Damien.
Who plays the man in the mask?
Before.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Well, he's been here a few times. Yeah.
He's been in my home.
And, Leah Enslin, who plays the pinup girl, which I think is one of the most like iconic horror designs out there. And if you haven't seen The Strangers, I think the last like 5 minutes of The Strangers is definitely one of the most
the new one or the
last? The old one. Yeah,
the old one. Yeah, it's so scary.
Yeah, it's so scary. Just like that one line of dialogue that like ties it all in. We were talking about spoilers, but I won't spoil it.
Yeah, because fun fact, I've actually never seen The Strangers.
You've never seen The Strangers?
Stop everyone reacting that way. It's on Netflix now. I'm still a good person.
It's easy to watch now.
Guess what? You can't see every movie.
Have you seen Strangers Pray at Night yet? You haven't.
I want to say yes because you guys are in it.
No, it's all right. Your name is in the credits, I know. Too. Even though you weren't there.
Or seen it.
Mine's that's amazing, in it too.
Isn't it? He got a credit. You're not there.
I did too.
Just like high school it's all over again.
Yeah. Right. We were supposed to be
it's
there.
It's like his yearbook. Yeah, yep. It was the blank slate with your name under it.
No, I didn't get to be an extra.
Shame on you.
But so no, I haven't seen that one either.
Well, it's if very you've good. Seen The Strangers Pray at Night, they're showing the film actually in the pool. So you can actually get in the pool.
Oh, you can get in the pool?
You can get in the pool and they're going to show the movie in the pool. Like, you know.
That is so cool.
I would love to do that. Unfortunately, we're going to be at Horror Hound, which is going to make it difficult.
Unfortunately. But sadly.
Mike McGrainer, who cut the trailer together for the event, is going to do both.
Yes.
He is hardcore.
That trailer is so awesome. So, he did a good job. If you go on the website, you can see this cool trailer that he pulled up for the event, and it's just amazing.
He made sure to put our diner scene in there, which I thought was pretty funny.
Well, they're eating at the diner the night before, so if you're coming down for the event, you can go to the diner.
Well, you can sit in the booth that NOTLP sat in.
Tell us how the ice cream is, because we never got our ice cream.
I know. Hey, we've been complaining about that for over a year now.
What type of ice cream?
The guy who owns Fillmore's Dairy Hut, where they filmed that scene, was like, I have a treat for everyone after shooting tonight. I'm giving everybody free soft serve. And then, like, we're 8 hours later.
He's like,
where'd
he
go? He's just gone.
We're just going to show up and, like, remember us.
we want our free soft serve. Oh, it was funny.
God, fame went to my head real fast.
It really did. Mm-hmm. Andy would have been dangerous around free soft serve.
Yeah. I mean, was there craft services at all?
Not for that particular scene.
We ate fake food.
We had rubber food. Yeah, they had a craft. I went back and did a set
the best
visit.
Rubber food you can buy, though.
It was the finest.
It's kind of chewy.
Went back for a set visit. The night they filmed the big climax, and that night they had, like, it was Damien's birthday and everybody was gonna have a cake for him and stuff.
Did you get cake?
Well, I had to work the next morning. I was the lame guy that right before they're about to.
You didn't want to do too much cake before you went to work the next
yeah,
day.
Yeah, exactly. And I remembered doing the hanging out in the director's tent and everything was awesome. And thanks again to Johannes and the producers, John Wagner especially, for letting me do that. It was really neat to watch that. But then right before they're about to do this big gore effect, which I got to watch them set up in the effects trailer and everything, I'm like, I have to work in the morning. So the PR person on the movie, who was awesome too, Brooke Ensign, she was like, but we're going to do this amazing gore scene. And I'm like, it's like almost 1 a.m. I think at this point. And I'm like, I have to drive back to Cincinnati because I have to be up at 6. I'm like, so good night, y'all. Enjoy the best part of the evening after I'm gone.
That's like every other party I've been to. Like, good night, guys. I know everyone's about to have the best time ever because I'm leaving. Yeah, bye.
It's like the Dave Attell joke about how all the little people circus and the prostitutes come through after.
Oh, yeah. So the Spice Girls show up and give everyone blowjobs.
Yeah, pretty much. So, this event sounds so great. Cinema, right?
Yeah, Onset Cinema. The website is MyersHouseNC.com, where you can get all the info.
And you spell it Myers, like Michael Myers?
Yeah, like Michael Myers, yeah.
Are you going to bring a floaty for the pool?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the most obnoxious one I can think
of.
Big you know,
swan.
The swans are like, there's a big piece of pizza now that it doesn't seem like actually, yeah, like it's a floaty pizza and takes up half the pool, but you can't really get on it right because of the tip of the pizza. Mm-hmm. So it's like, do I put my head at the tip or do I put my...
You always put it at the tip.
Directly on the tip.
Because otherwise your feet would hang.
Yeah.
Just bring an air horn. That's what I would do. It's like, what's this guy do with pools? I don't know.
Be like, bum, 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 bum. Every time somebody dies a horrible death.
Yeah. It's funny. I could see Damien doing that. And I also could see him like getting into character again and drowning somebody inadvertently.
In what?
He gets extreme. He's a scary guy.
No, he's not.
Oh, he's scary.
Okay. I don't want to ruin his rep. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, other than that, cool. Coming back for October at Video Archive, we're going to do our Yuletide Nightmare again, which is our reskin of the bar that we do to Nightmare Before Christmas theme. We did it last year from like the week before October through Christmas. And turns out people in Cincinnati don't want to do Halloween things at Christmas. No, just a lot of confused faces when you walk in. So we kind of
Christmas movie and a Halloween movie. Just
that's what I said.
It works on both levels.
Yeah. So this year we're kind of good, just doing way more interactive stuff with the Halloween season. October 3rd, which is like the third day it's open, we're showing the scariest movie of all time, which is Mean Girls, because it's Mean Girls Day. But we're having the Mean Girls Halloween party, so everyone can dress as a mouse or as a dead bride, ex-wife, as an ex-wife. Hey, sorry, I forgot about that line.
Yeah, no, well, I'll be excited to see a lot of the ex-wife costumes and cosplays.
I'd rather see the slutty, the slutty mice.
The slutty mouse, yeah.
That's Andy's thing, apparently, right?
Yeah, the slutty mouse.
Mm.
I'm a mouse, duh.
And then we're going to have there's a great hot dog place in Cincinnati, and they're hooking us up with, they make a hot dog that they call the Lindsay Lohan.
The Senate, right?
Yeah, the Senate. So we've teamed up with them to give everyone hot dogs.
It doesn't have red hair in it or anything.
I don't think so.
But it does have onions? Cocaine in it. There's a cigarette put
out. Is it like really burned?
Does it have a weird accent?
It shows up late.
It's got big titties, though.
We're not nice.
It claims it wants to play the live action Little Mermaid.
The actual Mean Girls are here.
Yeah.
It's going to hijack a car and get in an accident.
Oh. She's got a reality show coming out.
That's right. I forgot about that.
She's got a reality show coming out on MTV, so she's doing fine.
I'm going to be glued to that. What?
Okay.
Are you waiting for like a punchline there? That sounds awesome.
Does it?
I don't know.
She's a high-priced escort.
I've heard that rumor, too.
Yeah.
I like Lindsay. Yeah. I want the
what
best
is a story. High price?
I don't know.
Yeah, what do you consider high priced? I mean,
I don't know, man. Like, if I had to think about it, like.
Well, if she can charge $50 for an autograph.
Okay, what's the bottom basement price for you?
For Lindsay Lohan?
No, for
or
you.
Or just sex in general?
For you to be a
whore. I don't pay for strange.
Like, hypothetically, you're a whore. What's the bottom line?
A whore, man, I don't know.
Does it depend
I think on it's a sliding scale.
Yeah. Does it depend on the act?
Yes.
For sure. And
okay,
the person.
What's around the world? How much is that?
What is around the world?
For a ZJ, too?
ZJ?
Yeah, if you have to ask, you can't afford it.
Is around the world? Oh, I don't want to know.
If you have the means.
I think I'm pretty cheap. Like, you know, if we're using protection, I'd say probably like $1,000. I think, you know.
Yeah.
I'm putting myself in a scenario where this is my job. Like, I have to do this.
You got bills to pay.
Survive. Yeah, this is not a one-off. This is, I wake up every day and I punch the clock.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's got to be at least $1,000. That'd be like, you've got expenses, you've got overhead, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You do 5-day work week. If you only do it once a day.
I feel like I'll be a snobby hooker. Store workers and Pretty Woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how much is your services? It's like, it's very expensive. And then they come in later, I have money. And like, big mistake, huge.
You have sex for money? You've made a huge mistake.
With giant bags of dildos. A big mistake, huge. Yeah.
So, yeah.
We have this conversation an awful lot. Like, on road trips, Andy always has this thing like, how much?
Oh, I love
cost?
That game.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you what, on the flip side, I can't imagine paying more than $500 for sex.
With Lindsay Lohan?
With anyone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyone, really?
With anyone. I can jerk off for free. $500 is generous, actually.
I can't imagine anybody being worth $500 for sex.
I can't either.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'll go that far because that's just the world we live in. I'll give it up to $500, but like.
Yeah.
Thanks, Obama.
I mean, you can get an Xbox One X for $500.
There's no way that will provide you with hours of
That'd be like a year worth of play before it's outdated.
$500 isn't even enough for an annual pass at Disney World.
There's no way. There's no way that Oprah fucks at a $500 level.
No, you're right.
There's just no fucking way. I don't believe it.
As you know, sex workers are people too. You know, they have a job.
It's true.
But as a person that has never paid for sex, you know, I don't know that I could do it. I don't know that I could like step into that mindset.
Yeah, I don't either.
This has become a financial transaction.
Yeah. If you're not into it, it's just like,
well, because it would become like everything else in my life. Like it would just be like, okay, what's the rate of return that I'm getting?
No, it takes the emotion out of it and just makes it a complete and total like bargain hunt.
If that's your thing, that's fine.
I don't think it would be a bargain hunt. It would be the maximization of time. I'd be like, here's a checklist.
You want your greatest ROI?
Like at the 15-minute mark, please do this.
I'm gonna get my money's worth.
You gotta maximize.
Exactly. I'm gonna require at least 6 knuckles at some point during this transaction. So
good.
Yeah, I'm glad I came on the show.
Yeah.
How do we end up here?
I can never run for mayor now.
You probably could. Yeah.
You can. Don't worry about it. It was Lindsay Lohan. It was me.
Yeah, because
I know she's a
horse-shamed her.
I'm just saying that's what she does. And good for her.
Good for her.
Rumored to do.
Allegedly.
And she's a high-priced one, too. So good for her.
So good for her. Good for her. Anything else?
We have had... have you guys ever seen the movie Cinerama?
Mm-mm.
Have you guys ever seen Wrong Turn?
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you seen its better sequel, Wrong Turn 2?
No.
I don't think I have.
The director of that is a really nice guy by the name of Joe Lynch.
Yeah.
And he is filming a movie here in town. He has just been really just hanging out at Video Archive every day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's been like curating movies that he wants us to play like on the projector. Just The Last Dragon, which I don't know if you've ever seen.
I love The Last Dragon.
Yeah, so he like brought in. Yeah, and he was like, will you play this? I was like, of course I'll play this. but he's filming a movie for Netflix here in town. And Anthony Mackie, who plays Falcon.
Frank Grillo's in it.
Frank Grillo. Yeah,
Frank Grillo's in it. We were talking about that the other day.
I didn't know Joe Lynch was doing that. That's cool.
Said, no, I told you Joe Lynch was doing it.
You did? And then it went in one ear and out the other.
I was like, bitch, Frank Grillo's in town.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool that Falcon's in town, but Frank Grillo's in town.
we love Frank Grillo.
I guess the only reason I say Anthony Mackie is because he is everywhere, and he is the nicest person.
Is he like hanging out a lot?
He is hanging out at every bar I go to, and he is like,
really?
I'm just saying, I don't know if he thinks like, I got 15 minutes, I'm gonna live it up, but he like holds court like at every bar that he's at.
Anthony Mackie is gonna have more than 15 minutes.
Can we take Anthony Mackie to Bobby Mackie's
and
get him on the ghost tour?
Yeah, and make him ride a mechanical bull.
I'm sure he might.
Yeah.
Again, every time I've seen him, he has been so fan friendly with everybody.
Oh, that's really cool.
But I first saw him, I was trying to remember like the movie that I first saw him in, because it wasn't Avengers. It was that Matt Damon movie. Was it The Corrections Office or something like that? That was like a elongated Twilight Zone episode where he like opens a door.
The Adjustment Bureau.
Yeah. So he's in that as one of the adjusters.
Yeah.
And I remember being so enthralled with that movie when it came out, because I was like, it's just like a very long Twilight Zone episode. It's basically Twilight Zone, the movie, part two.
I love Twilight Zone.
I have some Twilight Zone news to share today when we get to it.
Bitch, what?
Yeah. Bitch, yes.
Jordan Peele.
What's your favorite? God damn it, don't spoil the news!
No, what?
Yeah.
All right, later.
Okay. All right, but before we get to that, what's your favorite Twilight Zone episode?
I really like The Doll.
No.
The Doll is really good.
No. And I really like, I just love the ending of Eye of the Beholder. Just the makeup.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's iconic. Like, that's the iconic one.
No. Yeah. It's a good one. I think.
What's your favorite episode?
Yeah, they love Twilight Zone. They get so worked up over it. Like, Millie loves Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. and also likes Last Stop at Willoughby because she's sentimental.
Oh, that is a sentimental one.
I'm a big fan of The Monsters Are on Maple Street is a really good one, where the paranoia episode with the power outage and all that.
The monsters were us.
Yeah, it turns out. And was it called Night Call, where the older lady is getting the telephone call over and over again? And you remember this one? Like in the middle of the night, she gets the call and she has a live-in nurse, and the nurse is like, thinks she's just kind of maybe losing it. And then she tries to trace the number and she realizes that the line is down on her husband's grave at the cemetery.
Oh.
And he was calling her.
Yeah, like you do.
Yeah, because that's how phones work.
They did like a Tales from the Dark Side episode like that too.
I like though that they had to connect the line. Like he couldn't just do it ghost twice. Like they actually had to sink the line into his coffin for it to work.
Cherry Hill 367.
My favorite is the opening to the Tower of Terror.
Your favorite episode is not an episode. It's just the people being struck by lightning.
Like, what I really love about that ride is all of the props that they put in the library from the various episodes.
Yeah, and in the little area when you get off the ride, and you get to see even more if you are a screw up like Andy and sit on your seatbelt so that you levitate during the ride.
Wait, what?
Did you know about this?
Do not, no.
Don't do it, but
who's,
it is
who's got a motorcycle in here?
It's me. I'm too badass not to bring it into the studio. I'm like Arthur Fonzarelli.
We'll tell you after the show how I got us an extra ride.
Yeah. Are you afraid you don't want to spread that on the air?
Almost banned from the park.
No, I almost got me banned from the park. You would have been innocent.
I have my hand over Elsa's mouth. It's like a trumpet mute. It's like I'm playing jazz music with a dog instead of a trombone.
Sounds good.
I'm going to pause the show real quick.
Okay.
Pitch shifted.
All right, we're back.
So they put the dogs down.
Yeah, we put the dogs down.
So are we really not allowed to tell the story about what happened to Andy on Tower of Terror?
Andy, what, are you worried we've someone's going to do story. It?
Don't do this.
People know about it.
You put your seatbelt on, but you stretch it all the way out.
No, oh, man, come on. You're going to ruin the ride for everyone.
And you sit on it.
Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it.
No, because it's very dangerous.
We'll tell you what happens when they catch you after he explains what happens.
It's dangerous, but it's also fun because you're like 3 feet off the ground.
Oh, Lord.
So then the ride hard stops. Like, we hit hard.
Well, first, I look over and Andy's in midair. Which is freaking weird, right? Because he's like, I'm down here, and Andy is up at my eye, his butt's at my like my eye level, and I'm like, and then
the ride stops really hard. We hit hard.
It smashes my nuts completely. It is awful.
We sat there for a while,
and it's not hot.
And it's hot, and it's dark, and nobody knows what's going on. And a little girl's crying. And then they bring us into like a service area, like the ride vehicle. And
yeah, because they think it's broken.
Yeah.
Well,
they know. So then a guy comes over to Annie. He's like, listen, you do that again, we're going to have a problem. It's extremely dangerous. We saw what you did.
He didn't lecture me after. He just said.
He just said, if you do that again, we'll have a problem.
He didn't say the dangerous part.
I don't remember a child crying. I think the story gets more dramatic every time.
There was a little girl there, and she was I didn't know what's going on.
In the basement of Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, Andy's photo is there. Just
do not accept a check from this man.
Yes.
But what fucking happens is Andy gets yelled at. I'm freaking out.
It was hilarious.
They turn us around and get us back on the ride.
We got to ride it twice in a row because of Andy being a fuck up.
So I'm
guilty.
In my defense, I did not. I learned this trick from Amy.
It was no. Amy rode Expedition Everest with a single rider, and this kid wouldn't shut the fuck up because he was a weirdo.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what I do on Tower of Terror is, and he told me that trick. So I'm being an idiot, say something to the guys, and Andy's like, I'm gonna do that, and he did it.
Yeah, don't do that.
Andy learned all his best tricks from 10-year-olds.
We have one Twilight Zone ride in this world. Don't. If somebody dies on that thing, they will take it away from us in a second. They'll make it something stupid.
But we saw like my heart. We saw everything lit up and saw the like little machinations of all the ride. It was kind of cool.
Got to see the
did anybody say Nick of Time? The Ohio episode of Twilight Zone? It's the William Shatner, and they go in the diner, and like they get their fortunes read by the little devil thing.
I love that, and I actually tried to find. I was like, I love the little fortune telling machine. It was was it the Mystic?
Yeah,
something.
It's, there's like a devil on top.
Yeah, it's got like the little bobblehead devil, and then it spits out a card. Right, they put a penny in, they get a card, and they realize that it's. It's real. Whatever it's telling them is real.
Well, it's telling them, like, don't leave the diner, like, all kinds of stuff. And then they leave. Of course, they leave the diner and almost get hit by a car or something like that.
That is such a good one. I tried to find that prop, like, that you could just buy. And I found it online. I want to say it was $1,500.
Jesus.
Yeah, to have a replica. It was a working replica.
But it only works until all the pieces of paper are gone, I guess. Yeah, I don't know if you just like shove them back in there. Which could be an awesome parlor trick. It could be like, give him $50, like, or you will die. Like,
oh my God. You need to start a Twilight Zone.
I've always wanted to do them as plays. I always saw them as they were perfect for doing like a theater production. Of like some of the best episodes, because a lot of them are just bottle episodes. You know, they take place in one location. You know, there's not a lot of special effects. It's just a lot of psychological kind of mentality to it. So we've talked to people before about like, man, we should do a Twilight Zone thing at one of the bars, and it's just one of those things. So if you're listening and you're like, I want to do that, hit me up, because that's a project we've been trying to get off the ground since like day one of Overlook.
The closest
thing that we're getting is in October. We are showing the 1980s Twilight Zone movie, which I think has one of the better anthologies. I think just for the Dan Aykroyd opening and closing.
And I love John Lithgow's Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. I think that was a really hella good upgrade. I just said hella good.
I think their monster one is just far inferior to the original episode.
You mean the gremlin on the wing of the plane? The actual effect?
Not the second segment of the movie, which is like he wishes them to cartoon world or something.
The little boy.
Like, yeah, that instead of the cornfield.
That scared the hell out of me.
The cornfield one was, I thought that was pretty
When
good.
I was a kid, it did scare
when
me.
When he
a
takes
lot.
Away the girl's mouth.
Yeah, and you see that. The big skin. Rabbit. Oh, gosh, that's scary.
The only one I didn't like was the one where the guy goes to Nazi Germany.
Well, that's the one people were killed making.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad I don't like that one.
Yeah, that was
you did good, kid.
Yeah.
And then they have the Steven Spielberg one, which is the heart.
The old people.
Kick the can. Time to kick the can.
God, I haven't seen that movie in a million years.
Well, you can come to Video Archive. And
I will do that.
Should. On the big screen.
I love it.
The big screen.
Under the stars.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Hell. To the S.
Hella good.
Hella good.
Franny.
I don't know where that came from.
You're 40.
I am.
We need to write you a list of things you're allowed to say and things you're not.
You're mean.
You say
I know.
You say what you want, Freddie.
You know who's older than me, though. John Kittley. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday!
Kittley's Crypt.
Will we see him at Horror Hound Weekend next
Absolutely.
Weekend?
You know it. You know it.
This Horror Hound Weekend, though, seems real, like, the tops. Like, just the lineup that they have this year, I'm sad Sutherland. That I can't be there. Yeah, yeah. You know.
You can't make any of the days? That's a bummer.
No, like, my schedule is just real. Yeah. Basically, I'm working from now until, like, the first week of September, so I'm getting married after, like, a six-year engagement.
Congrats, by the way.
Yeah.
We kept asking
Only
each other.
Only 6 years.
You guys are not traditionalists.
We kept saying, are Jacob and Katie married yet? We said it a few times.
So my fiance's been very patient. So we've been, over the past 3 years, opening these crazy, insane bars. So we've just been kind of hitting it. So I said this last part of the year that I was really just going to take off and do the things that I wanted to do and kind of take some me time. So I'm in like the last final stretch of like making sure that the rest of the year is lined up with all the fun events that we're doing. Basically, we're working on graphics, on promotion for, you know, everything that we're going to do till the end of the year. I'm basically like the senior that's like cramming in, like their final exams. Yeah, like, I'm going to get this done. I swear to God. So hopefully, you know, towards September, October, November, I'm going to kind of do some wandering around the country and kind of get some new ideas. I'm going to Universal Halloween Horror Nights, which I think is the premier.
I got
to
go.
Like, horror extravaganza.
You guys have never been?
Mm-hmm. We've never been.
You're down there all the time.
Yeah, but I don't go to Universal. It's not in the Disney bubble.
And it wasn't just, it's also like, we've already invested all our money.
Yeah, once you pay for that annual pass, you're like, fuck, you want how much Universal?
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
No, they're getting like one day for me, and then I'm going back to the bubble. Yeah, exactly.
I stay in the bubble.
We keep talking about sending an expedition of contributors to Universal for Horror Nights to actually cover it for the show.
Well, I'd love to be your on-site.
You want
to
do it with us?
Yeah.
Like, maybe this year you could be our on-site guy and come back and give us all
You guys have, I'll do some, video, and then you guys can link it. I'll be your on-site video.
I love
it. You can link it to your Instagram. Or you can let me run your Instagram from down there.
I'll give you the lock-in, absolutely. So, I think that's great.
I think that would be so much fun. I'd love to do that.
Yeah. Disney.
Famous last words.
Soon they'll own everything. Don't worry about it. They are the robotic nightmare uprising.
Yeah.
Why do I feel like any other corporation, I'd be like, I don't like the sound of this, but Disney, I'm like, perfect. Uh-huh. Yes, please. More.
What if Disney buys
Would you like to own me?
Because they have assimilated you from a young age.
Yeah, like it's really fine.
It's the indoctrination of it all.
Yeah.
No, it's because I understand it's a business decision not to own everything, but to prevent themselves from being owned. And I understand that. And I like that. Plus, whatever Mickey wants, he can have. You know what, Mickey? I wouldn't be $500 for you, big boy.
So we kind of live in not the same realm, but like the down the street adjacent realm from Disney, and that we try to do these very unique experiences, but we try to aim them towards adults. That the world is a very harsh, terrible place sometimes, so you need escape.
Yes.
So that when we build the bars, when we develop the bar concept, we definitely think about how are we providing escape and how are we providing something like that. So over the past few months, I've really actually been obsessed with all the places that like Disney has made mistakes. Like the things that they're like, we dumped $50 million into a ride that didn't work. So I love seeing that even a business is that big and like that just all consuming. They're like, hey, they're a business that makes mistakes too.
So
sounds dangerous with Drew Carey. Top of my list of Disney mistakes. Have you ever done that?
No, my Disney mistake still exists there. I hate it so much, but it's Journey into Imagination with Figment.
Is it because so you like the original one more?
I was too young to really remember it. I just know that as an adult, I'm like, I hate this.
I hate this so much. Figment is great. The ride is not good.
I love the character. The ride is not the best.
No.
Yeah.
It's cheap.
Yeah. It is very cheap. Like in comparison to what is going on there. And especially for us, the last time I went down there, we did this really cool thing called, it's not at Disney. It's at like Disney Springs. Have you guys ever heard of The Void or talked about The Void?
Yeah, it's a virtual reality thing, right?
Yeah. Did you do the Star Wars experience?
Yeah, so we did the Star Wars experience, but apparently they have a Ghostbusters experience and they have an alien experience.
That's like awesome.
Aliens. I mean, it's kind of one of the most immersive things you can do. We were kind of looking at ways to develop that technology into a bar.
Yeah.
And have been kind of like really hitting our head against the wall. Like we've talked with like two different companies about how do you bring augmented reality and virtual reality into the bar setting, which kind of seems to be like my next goal. The reason I talk about it is because I'm like, if someone else does it, I'm like, great, because then that takes the burden off of me. Like I'm always like freewheeling with my ideas in the hopes that somebody will listen and be like, that is a good idea, I should go do that. I'll be like, yes, I can just go enjoy it as a consumer. I don't have to be in charge of the equipment breaking down.
It'd be kind of fun to do like a bar haunt, like a...
So I think so.
It'd be
I think
perfect it would, for the Overlook.
Yeah. So
to recreate the Overlook virtually in your headset.
We thought that would be really cool, is to basically have like the Shining experience, like at the Overlook, that you recreate that. But The Void basically is this, it's full virtual reality, and you step into the Star Wars world and you feel, you cross over these lava pits and you can feel the heat on you. And, and you, there's a point where you go to an armory and you actually grab and like grab the blaster. Like, so it's very tactile, which is very interesting because you're in this virtual world. It's the closest that I have ever been to the future. I'm like, we did it, guys.
That is so cool. I went to do that. What were you guys doing? And you had to have a group. I was like the loser that was like, I'm not going to go to this alone.
It works better with a group, but I made Katie go through it with me. And Katie, I love her to death, but she is not the most adventurous person. And so she straps on this headgear and we get into the scene. And you have to pick up a blaster. And so, like, I go and, like, grab a blaster. And I'm, because I'm a gentleman, I grab her a blaster. And she's like, nah, I'm good.
I don't want to kill any Jawas by mistake. No,
she's like, I was like, well, what are you going to do? She's like, and the thing is, you're dressed as, not, I'm going to try not to give too much away, but you're dressed as stormtroopers. So when you look at the other person, you can see them dressed as a stormtrooper. So as we're going through these scenes, you know, I'm blasting away, and then every time I turn, there's just this stormtrooper arms crossed standing in the corner of whatever scene we're doing. Because it'll, like, push you, it pushes you through, regardless of what you do, you know, there's, like, no dying. That's so funny. But just, I was like, she showed up to work real disgruntled that day.
That's adorable. So,
got a little cigarette out of her mouth, just smoking.
So I loved it so much that I went through it again by myself, and they just paired me up with some people. So, and it was a great experience.
We have to do it. If it's not, it might, I don't know if it'll still be there.
Like Disney bought part of the company. Like they loved it so much. I think they're a majority share, and they're going to kind of spread these things.
Because those guys started out doing like Comic Cons and stuff, didn't they?
Yeah. Like they've got a really interesting story just from the fact that they created this VR stuff, but to get all that licensing had to be the most insane thing about it. That you've got like Disney on board with it. Because me being the person that I am, you know, you put on this visor and they send you into this magical world where you're just kind of wandering kind of freely, which feels weird, you know, just to, and, but if you lift up your visor, you just realize you're in just a big ass empty room. Right.
Wait till they come out with Grand Theft Auto for that.
I would love to do the alien one. That sounds awesome.
You can beat up hooker in real time.
Steal a helicopter.
Sex worker.
You can feel the blood spurt on your face.
Amy's like, you'll beat up a sex worker.
She's a person too.
We're all people just trying to get by. Reminder, horrorhelmweekend.com. And then patreon.com/NOTLP. If you'd like to support this show.
Do it.
You dumb bitches. Why would I be so mean
that's
today?
That's a real hard sell on the Patreon. That's Amy's honey vinegar.
Why?
He says mean girls one time. And Heather. You just get in the role.
My neighbor Heather, who I just need to literally walk the shirt across the street, who became a patron.
He has not done that.
Just ball it up and toss it.
I need a t-shirt cannon. I need more money for a t-shirt cannon. I wanted to do that at Horror Hound Weekend, but we were talking about like the close quarters and like
would we
kill somebody?
Is it like Maude Flanders somewhere?
Yeah. Don't do that.
I just want it so bad.
We're not gonna aim it at people. We'll shoot it.
It doesn't matter.
We'll shoot it in
ricochet.
The air.
A ricochet t-shirt.
A ricochet t-shirt. Does it make the same sound?
I don't believe it.
It's like when you shoot a gun up in the air, people die from the following bullets. Right? Is that
how high do you think this t-shirt goes?
I don't know.
It was. I grew up in Texas, and it was like a big thing.
I thought it was a constant problem
on holidays with fireworks. Yeah. It was because people would be like, "Let's fire off some fireworks and guns in the air."
And like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No, and it was like tragic. Like some people died. So they had to like put out public service announcements. Like, do not fire your guns into the air on 4th of July, which is the best day to do it.
Everybody's sadly taking off their Yosemite Sam outfits. Like, damn it!
I was like, and my response was, "How am I supposed to show the king who's boss if I can't fire my gun in the air?"
So, like, was Buckshot okay, or is it any gun?
I'm sure.
No. Yeah. projectiles in okay, the air.
Rock salt?
No.
How high do you think this t-shirt can go?
I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's not
it's a bad idea.
It's not an open air convention.
You're turning into one of those moms.
I know.
Oh my
god.
You'll
put your eye out.
I bought a yeah, I bought
put
a
your seatbelt on the ride right. Don't fire t-shirt guns in the air.
I bought a pair of Tevas. Okay. And I put them on yesterday and I realized I look like a mom on her way to Whole Foods. Like yep. I'm just like, I'm gonna go get guys, I'm going to get snacks for the week.
At the same That's time, maybe like, do you realize how cruel you're being to mothers and just how presumptuous?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They do look comfortable.
You don't care about that.
Can we go back to the t-shirt cannon for
Wait,
just a minute?
Am I bad?
I'm just fucking with
I know
you.
I'm
he
bad.
Says you're mom shaming.
I said you're mom shaming because you shamed Annie for sex worker shaming.
Here's what we do, guys. If the Patreon will raise enough money to get me a t-shirt cannon.
No.
I will work with the people at Walt Disney World.
We're going to
take it on the Tower of Terror.
We shoot it off.
When the doors open, we will fire out as many NOTLP t-shirts as we can.
Just shooting them out in Hollywood Studios. Yeah, people are walking down. Around with their churros. Like, what the fuck?
Because there's at one point when you hit the very top, you can see out into it's open air. Basically.
Yeah. So we should wet them first, like soak them so they go further.
Yes. It's a wet t-shirt cannon.
Yeah.
Again, Katie is the not adventurous type, so I end up going on a lot of these rides alone, or as I like to call it, ruining family photos. So I have this series of photos that you can see on my Instagram, Jake Should Instagram, where it is just me like photo bombing as much of the frame as possible in like every ride. So it's like Tower of Terror, like just across five families, arm stretched. Like
you found some way to lay down and do like a senior picture pose
pretty much.
Across people's laps.
Oh, all those Make-A-Wish kids, you ruin their pictures.
No, I know. Like, I know somebody's like, oh man, Timmy's first ride at Walt Disney World. We're going to remember this forever. We're going to get this photo, put it up on the mantle.
It was his first and last ride.
Yeah, that's. I think that's how you make evil villains in the world too. Yeah.
It's like all we had to remember him was this man's hand. In his
face. That was the only picture they ever had of him.
That's Goodbye, a picture Andy. They put in front of the coffin.
It's the only one.
All right.
Oh God.
Well, I'm gonna move us along to news if that's okay.
That's fine with me. Sure, why not.
Well, I'm glad I got you.
I'm pumped for the news because we got that tease.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just you wait.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back.
Just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. I think something is happening.
Here's a special experiment. Here's a special experiment. Here's a special
experiment. The people it kills get up and kill.
Remember, human beings are their food.
Kelly.
Hey!
Give us the news,
y'all
brah.
Ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I headlined this one, the only Stephen King news I'm not excited to hear.
Uh-oh.
James Wan.
Uh-oh.
Roy Lee. John Berg. Some other names.
What did he win?
Well.
James Wan.
Oh, Andy.
I see what
nice
you did
Nice punnery
there,
sir.
My
Oy,
goodness.
Oy vey.
They're making the Tommyknockers, which is like my absolute least favorite Stephen King novel.
But maybe they'll make it into something you'll enjoy.
They might.
Come on, it was Marg Helgenberger, Tracy Lords.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it as a kid and really enjoying it.
I liked it.
I never watched it because I read the book and I hated it.
I didn't read the book.
Even the part with Pennywise?
All the parts.
Mm-hmm. Pennywise was in it?
Yeah.
It's just a...
Just briefly, a little cameo.
It's just so...
That was like Stan Lee?
Yeah, like Stan Lee. Where he was driving a bus.
What's the other... You know, in the mid-90s, they were making all the made-for-TV Stephen King movies.
Langoliers.
Yeah. Which was one
that... Balky Bartokomus. Yeah. Bronson Pinchot, for those who...
And,
care about real names.
Richard Dean Anderson.
MacGyver. Yeah, MacGyver and Balky Bartokomus do Stephen King.
Don't you remember?
We seem to be in a Stephen King renaissance.
We are.
Which is great for my bar, The Overlook.
Yeah.
I like to think we were ahead of the curve. Like, we, you know... It's now just catching up to us.
Do you guys do Castle Rock viewings?
So we were trying to get in a writer from Castle Rock to come do like a Q&A and just like really couldn't figure it out. So we have been screening the episodes
at
The Overlook. And I love it so much. It's like good. It is. It's what I want American Horror Story to be.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I think,
that's a good way to put that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it keeps it up. Is it going to be an anthology? Is that?
Yeah, that's what I
heard. So the next season's a different story?
Yeah, it just all kind of takes place in that same Stephen King universe. And I mean, as me as a fan, you know, if you're not watching it, you should watch it. But I have a theory, and I'm like super excited about this theory that I think I've figured it out already. Like the man in the cage, who he is, that he's
going to have to tell me.
He's going to say his name. Should I say?
Because
they talk about like in the first three episodes that they catch the devil.
Yeah.
And like the guy never says his name.
Oh,
and
you he's think it's RF?
Yep.
That's going to be RF. And everyone's going to be like,
oh, shit.
I never even thought about that.
Yeah, that would be great.
That's pretty awesome. I am enjoying the Stephen King renaissance right now because a lot of people are trying to do quality versions, you know, some are better than others, but you know, overall I think they're doing a great job.
Well, and I'm not sure, we talked about this one time I was on when we talked about how do we get around, you know, copywriting stuff, you know, because we walk a very hard line on that
right.
as a company. But Stephen King is actually one of the better ones to work with, because if you want to make a film from him or you want to do something of his copyright license is a dollar.
Yeah, the dollar babies.
Yeah. That if you're great. A student filmmaker and want to make your own version of the Tommyknockers,
yeah,
that Kelly doesn't hate,
yeah, I want them to make me like it. I just, you know,
you can thank, isn't that how Darabont's career started? Was as a dollar working on?
Yeah,
dollar
he
baby?
Did. The Woman in the Room.
Yeah, which is very sad.
Yeah.
So Kelly, what is your problem with the Tommyknockers?
Oh, it's just so fucking long and boring, and it's like
really long.
He was working through, I think, at the time, his addiction problems. So there are just these huge long passages about this main character who's a writer, like how he acted like an asshole at parties, and it's just like so much. It takes away from the central story. I like the central story idea, but all the fucking bloated shit around it just turned me off.
Kelly hit his mic. He was so upset.
I was so upset.
So do you remember that
sorry,
joke?
Mike.
I think it was on SNL back when the miniseries first came out, and they said it was the fifth movie that Tracy Lords appeared in with Knockers in the title.
I don't, but that's great.
It's a good one.
I'm glad you could bring it back to
us.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
So
it might have been David Spade. I don't even know.
Knockers. Such an old timey term.
Yeah.
So they got somebody to adapt it. His last name is Slater. I don't want to really read through the
AC?
Whole.
Oh my God.
Yeah. AC Slater.
Wow. He called everyone preppy and then they had to fire him. They're like, that's anti-preppist.
So James Wan.
Yeah.
Mama. Mm-hmm.
Tommyknockers.
Yes.
All right.
I mean, I'll watch it.
I'll watch it. Maybe. And you're right. Sometimes things are better. And when I didn't like the book, I didn't like the Meg, the book.
Jaws.
Wait, the Meg Jaws. Was a book?
Yeah.
It's a series.
It's a whole series of books.
Yeah.
By Sapphire.
You know, when I saw the trailer for the Meg, it seemed like that joke when Peter Griffin was pitching Jaws, like bigger Jaws. Like,
exactly.
Like, oh, no, what is that? It's bigger Jaws. Oh, we should team up to kill the bigger Jaws.
That's basically right.
That is Meg.
Yeah. That's exactly right. That's the best review of that movie one could get. All right.
It's so fun, though.
It was fun. I did have fun with it.
It's a good time.
I said it was one of those movies I liked it. I'll probably never watch it again one more time, because I am a repeat viewer of movies that I really like. I might watch it one more time, but it was definitely worth, you know, paying for.
To me, it was very reminiscent. It might be this generation's Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah.
Because I was so obsessed with that movie when it was coming out. Just the marketing. I remember us going to the theater and buying, like, fake snakes and bringing them into the theater. We were so Jesus pumped Christ. About this movie.
And you shot them out of a t-shirt cannon.
No, and literally, we were just probably the most obnoxious people in that theater, because we were throwing the snakes, like every time there was a snake.
That's fun.
That is fun. I was super excited. I'm like you. I was crazy excited about the Meg. And you know,
it wasn't what I wanted it to be, but it was fun.
Yeah.
Like, it kept my enjoyment there. But yeah, I feel like we similar.
It's no Jaws 3.
Well, no, I did say that. I liked it way better than Jaws 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you can at least have that. All right. Here, you guys ready for the news you're really waiting for?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jordan Peele.
Oh, yes,
so
doing his
husband
version.
To my fave.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea Peretti.
Thank you. Yes, he is.
Chelsea mm-hmm. Peretti's husband, is that all he is to you now?
Yeah, that's the number one thing he's known for, is marrying a superstar, one international Chelsea Peretti. Anyway, mm-hmm. He is doing the Twilight Zone.
Yes!
Series?
Have we heard yet mm-hmm. if he's going to do the host segment?
Let's see. Maybe it says in this article that I haven't read
I didn't
yet.
Even think about that. That mm-hmm. Whatever platform this is on, it is going to take my money.
It's going to be CBS All Access.
It'll be the
Are you expecting? But they have Star Trek on there.
I haven't watched it yet.
I'll just borrow somebody's password.
All right, one of us has to pay for it. We'll all kick in a couple bucks. Yeah.
I mean, that guy seems to just touch things and turn to gold.
Yeah.
I hear he's working on another movie.
Yeah.
You know, he he's was doing the producer on Black Klansman that just came out.
Yeah.
He's the one who brought that story to Spike Lee.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Black Klansman yet, I highly recommend it.
Oh, you did catch it night, huh? Yeah. I really want to see it.
But this is in development, and the quote from one of the producers is, "We have a room, we have a first season of concepts, outlines, scripts, various stages of all these things. Of that 10 eps a season, we are well on our way, and we are going to start production the next couple of months." From a production standpoint, Greg Yalanez is overseeing that continuity, so thank God he's on it.
Yes, yeah. Greg!
What's your source for that story there,
since
you're reading it?
The quote, I'm reading this off of Arrow in the Head.
Cool.
I don't know where that quote is from.
That quote came out of outer space.
My big argument is, as much as I want to see the Twilight Zone rebooted, does it even compete anywhere with Black Mirror? Like, is this a redundancy and is it even going to come close to being as poignant and as thoughtful as terrifying as Black Mirror?
It has its place because Black Mirror is like movie length.
Well, also Black Mirror specifically is about technology.
Yeah.
And I think Twilight Zone has the flexibility to tell stories in other eras that Black Mirror doesn't.
Do we find that stuff scary though anymore?
We're going to find out, I guess. Yeah. Huh? Do you remember, this is the fourth reboot. Do you remember the one with Forrest Whitaker?
Kind of. I also remember, you know, all those other anthology series from the 90s, like Tales from the Dark Side.
Yeah.
And was it
Monsters?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the other one that was
The Outer Limits.
Really concurrent with the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like Amazing Stories was supposed to be having a comeback too, but then that kind of disappeared.
Yeah, I heard J.J. Abrams was doing that one.
Yeah.
That they were going to.
It's a great fit.
It is. I was never into Amazing Stories.
No. Even the Halloween episode they did with Christopher Lloyd. Did you ever see that one?
I did see that one.
What about the one with Haley Mills with the monster that comes out of her kid's book? That was really cute and kind of.
Yeah. There were some bad ones near the end, especially.
Yeah, I think I would be more anxious to see just a different kind of anthology series that has yet to be discovered yet.
Yeah.
I think you look at all the landscape that's out there, it's horror. I'd like to see like an adventure anthology series.
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
that would be really fun. Interesting.
Yeah.
I think, you know, literary character anthology might be interesting. Either that or you can take, you know, everything is like up for IP grabs right now.
Yeah.
So even like the mythology, like if you went like deep video game anthology series, like think about Nintendo's lore and then think about
the series.
Yeah. I played Bubble Bobble the other day.
Did you?
I really did. Played Bubble Bobble. I was like, I remember that game. I'm going to play it.
So hard.
And then you did it.
I did it.
That's a follow through.
Yeah.
I love you
too. All right, I'm gonna move on to this bit
of
news.
It's like a backhanded compliment, like good for you, you played the video game.
Well, honestly, the funny part is I thought about Mario Brothers the other day,
but
and I couldn't bring myself to go into the bedroom and play it. That's the level of follow through I had that day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Piss poor follow through is what that is.
You can come over and play it at my house if you
want. So it's Kelly 1, Freddy 0.
Yeah,
we could play both. Bloomhouse, however you want to say it,
Blum
is trying to buy the rights to everything,
Yeah, as they should.
Friday the 13th.
Including Bubble Bobble.
Yes! Bubble Bobble.
They bought the rights to my story.
Bubble Bobble. Wango Tango, the song by Ted Nugent. They want to buy the rights to that.
Yeah.
I'm what are they buying?
Friday the 13th.
Ted Nugent would accept a crate of Omaha steaks for the rights to that song, probably.
He probably would.
Well, I think that's fine. I think that's a good place for that to live.
I think I love all the stuff that Blumhouse does. Yeah. I love their model of just like, let's create as much as we can, and some of the stuff is going to work.
Exactly.
Some of it's going to be dog shit.
Right.
But I just watched the Belko experiment.
I love that. Did you like
Friday
it?
Friday night. I liked it a lot. Like, it's an interesting concept. I think I like the movies that do something a little different. I think that's why everyone always shits on the Purge movies.
We love the Purge.
But but I'm just always think of it as it's like cotton candy. It's just like, is this going to fill me up? Absolutely not. But am I going to have the best time eating this?
Yeah.
Like, fuck yes. Like, give me more. Like,
absolutely. Yeah, man. I think the cool thing also about like Blumhouse is they can take a relatively small amount of money and they get the people that are really, I think, passionate about making horror films, and they make it happen.
Yeah.
And that's why he's been such a basic success, is he has managed to keep budgets under control.
That is really it. Like, that's, you know, and when we were building the bars, we kind of said the same thing, that it was, if we could make these really cool concept bars, but make them for as little amount of money as possible, then we can make... And what most people spend on one bar, we'll spend on 10 bars, but we'll make sure that the experience and that the drinks and that the overallness of it is great. So that's why the bars are where they are, because they're not downtown, except for one. they're in these little neighborhoods. It's because we could get the real estate cheap and keep the budgets down. So I always look at all the stuff that Blumhouse does.
So you're saying your bars are death traps?
Possibly.
He cut corners everywhere.
That's the name of the next bar, Death Trap. Yeah.
That was actually the DVD that you had to pull at Video Archive when we first opened. Because we had such a problem with the trap door that opens to the speakeasy that the building department didn't want to pass us.
Really?
So they gave us hell. Finally, we got to a point where we could kind of all agree. So the first switch for the door was the movie Death Trap.
That's awesome. And just to say, I think what you said about them, you know, trying to make as much as possible, I think that is what makes them a strong, because they can make like kind of goofy, shitty teenager horror movies, have a good opening weekend, and then be able to fund, you know, stronger movies like fucking Ethan Hawke. That wasn't a Blumhouse movie. Never mind.
They also did Happy Death Day and just stuff that is, you know,
so fun.
Yeah, just stuff that's kind of off the wall that you really shouldn't see. I think that's a problem with Hollywood now is Hollywood. And what Blumhouse does really well is Hollywood says, we got to make a $250 million picture with Vin Diesel. And Blumhouse is like, give me $5 million and someone you never heard of from the CW.
Exactly.
And that's perfect for Friday the 13th. Like,
it is.
Have at it, man.
Well, the person in there is not the star. The person is a guy in a mask.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, like,
exactly.
Make me 15 more Jason Goes to Hell.
So he is.
I love that.
So Sinister was Blumhouse.
Sinister, that's what.
Yeah.
Ethan Hawke.
Thank you for knowing what I was trying to say.
AKA fucking Ethan Hawke.
Well, you know what? Fucking Ethan Hawke in that movie. He wouldn't turn a light on to save his life.
He wouldn't. But stupid. Ethan Hawke has the golden finger when it comes to picking screenplays. That's actually a weird turn of phrase there. I'm just saying he lays his cock on the best written work.
And he always makes you smell his golden finger.
Yeah, he's like, can you take a whiff of that? That's Boyhood.
They're interested in possibly remaking having the rights to The Crow, to The Serpent and the Rainbow. And this, I like the phrasing.
I thought The Crow was already in the works.
There's always a Crow movie in the works that's never quite getting
off
the ground.
Wasn't it Momoa?
Yeah.
But
he was rumored.
I think he's out on that.
That's one cursed. That one, I don't even, you know.
Momoa's too big and sexy to be the Crow. You need, like, kind of a skinny, Weasley, gothy guy.
Who's a guy?
Steve Buscemi.
No.
DJ Qualls.
The guy that plays in Force Awakens.
Adam Driver is the Crow.
That would be a good
guy. I could see that.
Yeah.
Also, I like how this is phrased. They wanted the rights to John Carpenter's Stephen King's Christine.
Okay.
I feel like you could just probably get the rights to Christine, the novel, and just,
yeah,
you know.
Do your thing.
There's something specific about his film version that they need to get the rights to.
It says John Carpenter's Stephen King adaptation, Christine.
So, one more thing real quick about the Crow remake. I had about Adam Driver, actually. Be a good casting for the Sandman. Neil Gaiman's the Sandman.
Oh, yeah.
It would Adam be good Driver.
Too. Yeah.
Which they've also been trying to make for forever. It's been like, it's going to be an HBO show, and then it's
going to
be a movie. And that just seems like, and also one that would be a great anthology series. You want to talk about what you do with Sandman? There's like,
That would be a great series. Yeah. That's almost how they have to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I wish, like, just make all the books into series and then make just new movies.
You know what else Adam Driver would be great in?
What?
If they remade Fried Green Tomatoes again.
Yeah.
In what role?
That's what we need. A reboot of Fried Green Tomatoes.
Kathy Bates or Jessica Tandy.
She'd have a cameo, but she's not going to play the same character.
Yeah. Who would he be? Would he be the Jessica Tandy character?
Probably? Adam Driver.
Yeah, Adam Driver.
Would he be the tomato?
He'd be the fried green tomatoes. He's like, I'm playing a plate of fried green tomatoes this time, guys.
Such range.
So anyway, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Some barrel chest of tomatoes.
Yeah. Please put a shirt on tomatoes.
I don't know why people are complaining about that scene. I liked it.
Because people complain.
I love Last Jedi, but I'm almost afraid to
I'm
tell
glad
people
you
that.
Said that. I know. I love it.
I love it, too. Yeah. It's one of my favorite.
No, we all probably love it for the same reason as we watch a shit ton of movies. So you can kind of, you see where the ball is going. Like, you know, you're like, well, we got to wrap this up in 30 minutes. So it's time for the heroes to win and everything. It was one of the movies where I was like, oh, no, the fuck's about to happen.
I love this. Yeah. Exactly. Same. Yeah. Everything that every expectation you had, they're like, oh, you think that's going to? Fuck you.
Yeah.
I really loved it.
When Luke squirts that milk right into his mouth, I'm like, it's such a great callback to him sitting at the breakfast table with Uncle Owen. Yeah. Where he's just like, but now he's like, I'm not even going to use a cup anymore. This is where I'm at in my life.
And again, I think with, you know, some of these bigger studios investing, you know, Harry Potter, Fantastic Beasts, Star Wars, things like that. We're going to get a billion of these movies. That's why I was just like, if you don't like Justice League, don't worry, because in 5 years, they're going to make another one.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you're going to have every iteration of these characters, mostly because they're lazy and they just can't figure out anything new to do. That's what we've talked about. Hey, they're rebooting Friday the 13th. They're doing Twilight Zone.
Designing like, women.
Yes.
And John Carpenter, Stephen King's Christine.
John Carpenter's designing women.
that I would watch. Awesome.
Julia Sugarbaker just comes out of the shadows.
I think that's, there's your money right there, is if you can get the designing women to do something almost like Scream Queens, just print all the money. Which is one of my favorite TV shows. I'm so sad it's not coming back. So
were they going to bring Designing Women back?
No, they Scream Queens.
No, they are talking about bringing Designing Women back.
Because that's also what we're doing right now, is bringing back every single TV show that ever existed.
Yeah.
I heard Frasier.
I know, I heard. It's going to be different without Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie's making me watch Seinfeld from the beginning.
That seems like a slog. Like, I mean,
the first season is hard. I would rather have jumped ahead and started on like halfway through.
I have to see it
too,
from the beginning.
She's a completist.
So, why was America fascinated with fucking Kramer? What an awful.
Because he was wacky. Because it was the 90s and everybody, like, he was in a long line of wacky sidekicks. So you've got like Taxi, his name?
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's basically just the evolution of that. Like, if you're going to do a sitcom, you got to have like the wacky.
And he's always barging in. I think people relate
out of
to
my
having
apartment,
one of those neighbors.
Stop pushing me to do things that you want me to do. You have no boundaries, Kramer.
Well, so it's like Freddy.
Hey, I really think any of those things.
I think we all have friends like that. I think,
it's
I can relate.
Are you telling me?
So what? When, then which one are you? If
you're Amy's George Costanza,
I'm George, and I don't like it, and I hate George.
Yeah,
and I don't want to be
here's
like
the,
George.
Here's the
and
funny
I'm
thing.
I resist my George ways.
Here's the Georgie thing don't she just did.
Georgie.
Georgie, we all flipped out.
We went to see Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh,
yesterday.
Fuck these people, though.
Well, hold up,
but not the Crazy Rich Asians. That was a great movie.
These goddamn.
Well, no, it was really great being on the show today, guys.
I didn't mean that.
Well, here's the thing. At least Amy saw it, Kelly and Jacob.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not racist.
I have zero interest in that movie.
Oh, it's actually really funny. It looks like this generation's My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Bingo.
And that's what it was.
That is what it is.
It's just bubblegum. It's a little fantasy, and it's funny,
it's
and
real
it's
romantic
great.
And funny.
It's really good. Okay.
The point is,
fuck this
if
family.
We're talking who is who in Seinfeld, we just watched the episode where George is waiting for the payphone in the Chinese restaurant, and just the way he gets worked up waiting for it. Literally, we're at the concession stand at the movie theater, and Amy's like, how many people are with these people?
There was this huge family.
And then she's like, who spends this kind of money at a concession stand at a movie theater?
And I was loud about it, too, and I know I was being an asshole, yeah. But it was like a mom and another mom and five kids and a grandma
she's
and
like,
a
they're
fucking
they're letting the kids pick out what they want.
Yeah.
They're not just giving the kids what they're not deciding what the kids get it's for like, the kids. The kids are looking at the menu.
Okay, why would you bring your own shit?
Here was a problem. They didn't know what they wanted when they got to the line.
Like, seriously? We were in line for the ticket while these people were at the counter already. I wait in line. I get my fucking movie ticket. I go to the bathroom, and then I go in line for the concessions. These motherfuckers are still ordering.
Yeah, and we're watching Seinfeld. She's like, this you George.
You have a plethora of options. I mean, what do you want?
Them.
Popcorn, candy, Reese's Pieces.
$200.
If you're really adventurous, the hot dog.
Movie theater hot dog. I'd rather lick the ground.
Well, me and Mike are behind them. Then we just hop over to the next line.
Yeah, and that's not fair either.
They got through there. They were like,
me and Katie went to see the Christopher Robin movie, and we really wanted hot dogs, so we just smuggled in our own hot dogs.
That's how you do it.
Where'd you hide them?
What was it? In her purse. Oh, she wrapped them up and like put it.
Yeah,
she's got one of those like big
all
like,
the time.
We do too.
We smuggle hot dogs in?
Food.
We smuggle hot tacos in from La Canasta.
Were your hot dogs already hot? Or
we actually went to
No, they cooked them in the theater.
Steak and Shake to get them.
That's smart.
So yeah.
I like that.
A high quality hot dog.
Nice. Here's the thing good thing about escape theaters. There's a lot of fast food around.
And they let you bring stuff in.
You don't know.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't let you, but they definitely don't stop.
Well, right. The funny part is one time the ticket terror is like, you can bring whatever you want.
Yeah, I got a big purse.
They didn't give a shit.
I snuck in a po' boy from Popeyes one time.
But you do.
Like, who goes to the movie theater and buys $200 worth of concessions when people are fucking standing in behind you? You smuggle that shit in. Who the fuck are you? The goddamn Rockefellers. Fuck you.
We were in the rich part of town, though, Amy.
I guess. We were at Kenwood. Yeah.
Rich kids.
All right. Anyway, what were we even talking about?
So I have two last...
Okay, hurry up.
Oh, yeah. The news.
I have two last bits of news that are both Stephen King. It's been a very Stephen...
Well, as you
I'm so glad I was here for the
big,
Stephen King.
Big Stephen King news day. So Pet Sematary's wrapped filming.
Oh, yeah.
We have our first picture of John Lithgow as Judd Crandall.
Did I know about this?
He's hugging a fellow.
That's fantastic.
Look at him. That's nice.
Oh, that's great.
I love John Lithgow.
He's the best.
Who else is in this?
Nobody you know. Oh. And
they really made Pet Sematary in that photo look like a buddy motorcycle.
Right. Yeah. It's like, sometimes dead is better!
Don't steal my sunshine.
Do you think they have to have that line in there, right?
I hope they do. Yeah.
Like, that guy,
you know,
Andy?
It's just like, that's the thing with, you know, all of the... Stephen King movies, they all have that one.
Yeah, you like, want it to come
movie.
You want it like, to be
we
there.
All float down here.
I find it kind of interesting they cast Jason Clark as the dad because he has a similar look to what's his nuts from Mary Lambert's version.
The jaw, that guy,
the jaw and all that.
I know who you mean. Yeah, he does kind of have a similar.
I also really just wanted them to cast Dennis from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia because I'm so ingrained with that every movie that I see him in, I'm like, oh, what's Dennis doing here?
Right.
That movie AP automatically bio? Becomes a comedy.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
You know, he's
it's the implication.
They gotta go full circle and It's Always Sunny and make him a serial killer.
They've been towing that line.
Yeah.
So
really.
Yeah. But anyway, that's happening. So it's all wrapped up. that's basically what this news article is about. I gotta say, one thing I'm really looking for in this one that they didn't give me, the Mary Lambert version is good. I mean, it's one of the better adaptations, but they completely stripped out the super spookiness of the trip through the swamp to the pet cemetery, because for me, that part of the book, both of those times in the book are humongously scary, with Judd explaining, like, not answering anything that talks to you as you walk through the woods, and just like, it was like this really great atmospheric, terrifying. And then the second time, I won't spoil the novel for anybody, but you know Lewis Creed sees things, and it's but it wasn't anywhere, like, they didn't explore that at all in the movie.
Yeah.
And I don't think they gave too much time either to the Timmy Baderman story that Judd tells.
Oh yeah, that's good stuff.
Lewis in the book, which is like a really rich part of it that I really hope they get back to. Who knows?
How great would that have been as an episode of the Beverly Hillbillies, though, where they bury Jethro up there in the pet cemetery, and he comes back.
Jethro,
and
does he come back like dumber than he was? Like,
extra even, dumb,
yeah,
extra dumb.
He uses an even bigger bowl to eat a cereal out of.
No, he just can't even form words anymore. He just keeps falling himself down.
The last one is they are adapting from a Buick 8.
Oh, I liked that book. I did too.
That's going to be a tough one.
It is going to be a tough one, because it is so many, just like, it's like a novel of vignettes.
And it's kind of like a Doctor Strange almost kind of thing, where all the otherworldly stuff that happens.
Well, is it Doctor Strange meets Creepshow, then, is how you frame it?
That would be a way, like, to sell it. Yeah. My question would be like, how do you... Yeah, it's one of those things that's almost Lovecraft, where what happens when people go into the, well, not spoil, but I think everybody knows you go into the trunk, right? And then there's some other dimension in there.
Well, and there's things that are coming out of another, open the trunk and something's come from another place. And it's, so like the whole book is just like what happens between these like strange moments of discovery where this car is parked. So yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, but... some people are working on it.
Oh, that's good. I hope that we have our best people on
it. Is it top men?
Our top men.
We have top men working on it. Let's see. Who's in this?
Thank you for your service, top man.
Let's see.
You were supposed to give this to top men. You gave it to bottoms.
We've got Warwick Davis.
Got this all crisscrossed. The bottom ones are supposed to be working on the Tommy knockers and the top ones.
So Ashok Armitage Hyde Park Entertainment.
I don't think any of that's right.
Ashok Armitage's.
Speaking of strokes, I think Kelly just had a
The person's name is Ashok Armitage.
Okay.
And they have a production company called High Park Entertainment.
Or an Autobot? This is direct to video. Or direct to streaming. Are we being racist? I've just never heard of Hyde Park Production. It seems made up. It seems like they're doing like some sort of covert war game. Like that is.
Oh shit.
Like
this is some CIA shit.
It's like Argo all over again. Yeah. It's not real.
You're getting nicest out of this shit.
They've hired William Brent Bell
again
to write the script.
Billy Brandt.
Bell directed The Boy, that doll movie.
I didn't hate that. I thought I was going
so
to.
So we were talking about movies that are spoiled,
or
that you can hide yourself from getting spoiled. Somehow that movie got spoiled for me. I was walking past a television screen one day and I guess that's
it's
how that is.
It's only worth watching if you don't know how it ends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Did you see that
with me? Okay. Yeah. We, mom and dad, I think.
The Walls, right?
Yeah.
Wink.
Just as a fun aside, the place where I get all my news from, every time they do like one of these like articles about a Stephen King adaptation, the person writing the article, and it doesn't matter what the book or what the thing is, they always say, "That's one of his that I haven't read," but I'm like, you've never read any of them, have you?
No, I've read his Insomnia, which woof.
I don't even remember.
That's a slog. I do not like Insomnia either.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It was not good.
I started it a bunch of times.
It's weird. They turn young at some point.
Lissy's story. I could not.
Started that one a bunch of times.
Have you guys read that at all?
Lissy's story?
Is it Lissy?
No.
I don't know. That's what I call it.
Did they. I know that they're making Doctor Sleep. I know that that's
Doctor Sleep. In. Yeah.
And I heard that Ewan McGregor was cast as Danny.
I really like Doctor Sleep, so I'm looking forward to that adaptation.
I wanted The Shining again.
What now, Kelly? You really like what?
I like
I heard they started possibly like this. You know, obviously people just run into bars and just yell things at me. So I want to say this is one of those bar conversations. They're like, oh yeah, I think they're filming at the same location. Like they're going back to the Overlook Hotel.
Oh, that's awesome. I just
Estes Park.
So, you said you have read the book though of Dr.
I have,
Sleep.
Yeah.
Did you like? For me, it felt almost like an adventure novel instead of a horror novel.
It does. Like, but I think that there are some of those that Stephen King writes that kind of, you know, if you look like a book or a short story like Stand By Me or something like that, you know, that some of them kind of veer off. I think he kind of gets bored. And
I could see that.
Like.
It does fall, like, I really like Dr. Sleep, but it's not as cohesive. It'll never be as great as, like, one of the earlier ones, but I thought as for a sort of post, because I feel like there was, like, what he wrote before, then the accident, and then what he wrote afterwards, and I feel like for a post-accident book, it was one of the ones that have kind of gotten him back into, like, where he kind of found his voice again to me. I really like Dr. Sleep. The only thing I had a problem with, I wish that the monsters were less, like, sympathetic. That was my only real concern, was like they were just a little too sympathetic for me.
Mm-hmm.
I find that interesting though.
It's like when
you can make a monster sympathetic, like I think then it kind of drives, I think that's why the last Avengers works so well.
Yeah.
It's like you like, even though Thanos is crazy, like you get why he's doing it. And I think it's a very hard line to walk, to where you're like, okay, I get why you're doing this. Please stop doing it.
Yeah, I agree.
Feel bad.
I agree.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of funny that I always feel like, if you're framing something as like literature, yes, that's more interesting and it makes it more worthwhile in the long run to stew on. But like as an experience of me wanting to be scared by something, and that's just the cheap, I just want to get my rocks off kind of thing.
Did you have the same thing when you read it? Like about the monsters, the travelers or whatever?
Yeah, well, part of it was I liked the travelers. They reminded me of the gypsies from Thinner.
Yeah.
A lot. And I thought it was cool. And just the way they framed it, like good versus evil almost. Like it felt kind of big and comic booky.
Yeah.
But like I love The Shining. I get so scared by the book The Shining.
Yeah,
like,
it's a real scary book.
And and I wanted that. I thought when they were revisiting that territory, there would be more of that.
I see what you're saying. There. I see why you would think that. I was glad they didn't, like, because I didn't think. Again, he's not that writer anymore,
right?
So, like, I was real actually concerned that he was going to try and do that. And it's not really a sequel to The Shining at all.
Right.
It's just a different story in that character's life. So I was glad he didn't do that. But I can see why you'd want that.
Yeah. I maybe on a revisit, knowing what I'm getting into, I'd enjoy it, and I think it'd make a great movie.
Yeah.
Did you?
But it's going to piss a lot of people off that it's not
here. That Joe Hill might have solved an unsolved murder.
Yeah, we were just the talking Jaws about murder. That.
Yeah, the Lady of the Dunes.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's really interesting.
That's the first place I actually ever heard about that was on his Twitter.
Yeah.
Like years ago.
I had like randomly heard the Lady of the Dunes, but I'd never delved into the story before, so it's...
We were talking about that during the review of Meg with Fozzie, right?
Didn't somebody say that she was the actual Marianne Moffat? Like, where that story came from for that the Indianapolis scene? You know, when they're comparing scars and Hooper says, Marianne Moffat, she
broke my heart.
I think that there was some rumor that girl was the inspiration for that speech. That part of the speech.
You mean the extra in the scene?
No, the girl who they found, like...
They found her after the movie was made, though, didn't they?
Right. What I'm saying is that I think the idea, the rumor was that she was somebody that hung around the town, and when... What's his fuck? Richard Dreyfuss. I had to do that first before I could get to the name.
Ah.
Like, had met her. Like, she had hung around the production. She might have even worked on it.
Yeah.
And then that... worked its way into like the scene, and then you know later they found her body.
Mm. Whoa!
Just another dimension to Jaws, y'all.
Yeah. Yep.
I could be wrong about that, but there's some kind
of. I also heard there was a munchkin hanging from a tree in the background.
So. Yeah, And there's a ghost in the window in 3 Men and a Baby.
No, in Jaws. There's a ghost in the window. Just look. But it's actually a cardboard cutout.
If you look, it's a cardboard cutout of a man hanging.
So there, maybe you guys can answer this because this always bothers me every time I see it. Is there's the scene in Jaws where it's a kind of a distant shot of the boat and it's at night. It's right before this scene.
Yeah.
And in the background, you see like a
the shooting star,
red shooting star, which I always just interpreted to Superman. Like, Superman, please save these people from the shark, which I think would make a great movie.
All right.
But yeah, so I don't know what the red shooting star is, and like, did I've never gotten a satisfactory,
or was that a real shooting star?
I think
it looks animated.
It's just always very puzzling because it's just there for no apparent reason. Yeah. I just thought somebody could be like, oh yeah, they.
I feel like it was just some editor that was like, you know what would really make this scene pop? You know, you got that beautiful big night sky. Let's just go ahead and can we animate just a little star going across?
You learn how to do that.
It's the signature of that particular editor. It's in every film that he worked on.
I love the voice you chose, Kelly.
Yeah, I know. It really sucked me into that character. I want to know more about his backstory and where he's from.
South Carolina.
Really worked his way up. It was really his only big movie.
East Peck or North Peck?
he's from East Peck.
All right, great, cool. We did a show, you guys.
Yeah, all right, yeah. So the Saturday, Strangers Pray at Night, on location, MyersHouseNC.com. So cool. Then visit Guerrilla Cinema Presents to see all the stuff for Yuletide Nightmare coming to Video Archive in October. Awesome. Follow me at Jake Should Instagram. Jake Should everything. Like, so if you're looking for
Jake
me on
should give me $100 just for being me.
There you go. And again, I look forward to like running your Instagram when I go to Halloween Horror.
No, you
definitely should do that. Yeah.
I'll send you the login right now so don't forget.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/NOTLP. I forgot to bring up the list of patrons.
Oh, Amy.
Oh no, Amy.
So mad at you.
Go see Crazy Rich Asians. That was good. I say go see that.
Sure, do that.
Tell Mandy sent you.
What? What did you say?
Mandy sent you to the movie theater.
You're 25% off your ticket.
Don't you dare spend $300 in concessions at one time with your dumb family. Why do you have so many kids?
Amy's running on this platform. She's going to do away with over a certain amount at the concession stand.
The concessions are too damn high.
All right. I can't get the internet to work, so we'll name our patrons next show.
I can get them on my phone, probably.
The Horror Hound Weekend is next weekend, so we will not be doing a show. So sorry about your life, but we'll make sure you have some bonus content to tide you over and such. Anything else before we go?
I'll get our... I'm working on it.
Castle Rock's good. I hope you guys are enjoying that.
Castle Rock's good.
Not gonna work here anymore.
not gonna work.
You said your internet's not working over there.
Oh, I just got The Outsiders, but Stephen King, his latest novel. Mm-hmm. But I'm in the middle of another book, and my hold from the library came in, and it's like I can't start it yet.
The Outsider is really good.
You'll hate me because I've got like 6 books on my dresser, and just. I fly through all of them at different times.
You put one down in the middle and start another?
Yep.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. It's like watching a television show. What's the difference? Can you not follow more than one story at a time?
I always have an audiobook and a regular book going.
Yeah.
I used to do that. I just don't read as many books as I used to. I mean, I can do that.
Yeah, as long as it's not like Game of Thrones where I'm like, all right, who the fuck is this?
Right. Where it requires intense focus.
I've watched that show for 7 years. Still don't know who some of the characters' names are. They just
keep coming up. You're like, I know I should know that person.
All right.
You ready, baby?
Let's see. I need to
filter. You start thinking they're slipping in Lord of the Rings names just to like fuck with you.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, did you say Faramir? What?
I feel like I'm
it's
doing
nice
this
about the Game of Thrones
phone.
Books, though. You have your
glossary.
You're a glossary in the back, which is nice. So you know,
there's something
that
on the internet where it's like I asked my dad to like name all the Game of Thrones characters that he could name, and
he's still
I put
going.
Up their pictures. All so right. And he like came up with like random names for them, like Queen Good Boobs.
Queen Good Boobs.
Oh, that had to be a Natalie Dormer.
Yeah, that's Marjorie. Yeah.
I do love Marjorie. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Natalie Dormer. She's fine. Yeah, I'm sorry. Here we go. Patreon Beelzebubs, producers of this show, Jeremy and Cassie.
Yeah, congratulations.
On your new house.
Bought a new house, yep.
We're going to read the address.
And our Patreon, damn. They got money to spend.
They're balling. Commanda,
hey, much love to you. Hey, girl.
Dale Roberson.
What up?
Congratulations, Dale.
Yeah, he's a newlywed. Mandy, Adam.
Brooke. Mandy and Adam and Brooke.
Ernie. Hopefully we'll see you at Horror Hound.
Yeah.
I'm hoping you're coming.
I won't be there, but you know.
Albert, Tree and Alex.
Hey, bros.
Brandon Boone, who we will be showing Psycho for the first time next weekend or something. Weekend after next. Mm. He's never seen Psycho.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Lucky him.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Bill Farmer.
Hi, Bill.
Blake.
Balake.
Mark Watts.
Mark.
And Elise
He's
Wallace.
He's going to be at Horror Hound,
she'll be here soon.
Yeah.
Is Mark going to be at Horror Hound?
He said so, right?
Yeah. We haven't seen him since The Flying Pig, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Where we just met because he recognized our voices in a crowd of like
thousands
of
people. No, I had the NFL bag on.
Or no, you had the bag on. Yeah.
That's creepy, Frank.
He was just like, what's that smell? No TLPs here.
Smells like Cincinnati chili.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening. Thanks, Jake Farber.
Thanks for having me on anytime. Love this.
And we'll be in your ears again soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed when his old buddy Leatherface put on to have